A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
Do you enjoy this podcast but wish you had more weekly short doses of insights and nuggets? Well, if you didn't know, I recently launched an email newsletter where you can join and connect with a community of like-minded young women around the world, also on the journey of personal growth. This weekly email includes everything from mindful insights and finds, tips on living well, relationships, my personal experiences, and a lot more. Subscribe to get your weekly email newsletter. The link is directly in this podcast episode show notes, or you can head directly to my website at emilyelizabeth.blog and you can sign up from there.
Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of What Fulfills You. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. And for today's guest episode, we dive into a lot of deep and insightful topics, especially surrounding marriage, relationships, decision-making, preventing divorce, female friendships, all of this just good stuff. And funny enough, it's actually with my high school best friend's mom. I have had the opportunity to have independent conversations with Steph through coffee and wine over the past 2 years or so. And over time, I started to think, how awesome would it be to have her on the podcast to talk openly about these topics? Because I do know that it would be helpful for other women in our 20s and 30s to hear more about this and to gauge some of this insight from someone that has experienced it, someone that has different way of thinking now, and just overall has lived more than we have. And so I'm really excited to bring this conversation to the podcast today, because I know this is definitely one of my favorites this year. I feel like it just really touches on some topics that many of us could use some insight on. I do think this is also one of those episodes that you might want to save and re-listen to at a time that you need to hear it again, you know? And I often did this back in my early 20s, especially when I started listening to podcasts. When I found and heard episodes that really touched just something inside of me, I saved it into my library. I tend to listen to podcasts on Apple, and so they have an option where you can save it. And I would go back into this library once or twice a year, and I would scroll through the episodes I saved, and I would re-listen to the ones that I just was called to listen to. And I could just usually tell just from the title of the episode, I would remember, oh, okay, it's talking about this part of life. And I knew I would want to go and listen to that. So anyways, this conversation was amazing. I really, really enjoyed it. And so with that being said, let's welcome Stephanie Terramina to the podcast. Steph, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I have to preface, for those of you guys who don't know, this is one of my high school best friend's mom. And it's so funny because I feel like I think I'm notorious for having a lot of different relationships with different people. And it's funny because I feel like I have my own friendship with you at this point, and then obviously my own friendship with Allegra. So Definitely. This is so fun. Yeah. But anyways, I think we're just going to dive into a lot of stuff. I told you the other day, I feel like a lot of women who listen to this podcast, and when I even talk with
women in my Instagram DMs, mm-hmm. everyone's always curious about learning different wisdom from people who have experienced different things. And for me, the first thing I think comes to mind that I would love to dive into is around marriage and relationships. And of course, to whatever extent you feel comfortable with. But I think, as we spoke about the other day too, when it comes to, I think what you wish you knew when you were in your mid, late 20s, whether it was more having had more self-awareness back then or maybe being more in tune with yourself, different things you could have done to be more in tune with yourself. And obviously, I want to preface, this isn't like to say there's regrets around it, but obviously more rather around if there was a complete fresh start for someone listening at like 25 right now, these are also some things that they could take into consideration.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I was in my early 20s, I was here in New York City, mm-hmm. and I was a student at Parsons studying fashion. So that was kind of like a new setting for me coming from Penn State.
Yeah.
Because I had graduated from Penn State and then moved right to Manhattan. And it was really a whirlwind. You know, mm-hmm. you're coming from Pennsylvania and going to college at Penn State, mm-hmm. in State College, mm-hmm. is like a very different world,
yeah.
from living in a big city and Manhattan, which mm-hmm. is one of the biggest, mm-hmm. best cities, yes. in the world, right? So while it is really an exciting time, mm-hmm. and you're meeting all kinds of new people and you're having all kinds of new experiences, I think, you know, as you move through your mid-20s and then you start to date, mm-hmm. you know, there's always, I think, what pops up because of that time, mm-hmm. when a lot of young people are finding partners. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of the way our society, you know, suggests or pushes us towards finding a partner in our mid to late 20s, mm-hmm. so that you can start having a family. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of the traditional,
yeah.
you know, way to do it. So I found myself a 23-year-old girl. So really,
yeah.
you're technically not even really an adult. You're yeah. technically an adolescent. And you're making really big decisions about the rest of your life.
Yes.
And so I think that that's a tricky thing to do, mm-hmm. you know, at that age. And for me, I've met a really, really sweet man, mm-hmm. who I then married, but did I really know myself, mm-hmm. you know, and did I really know him? Mm-hmm. So we were, I think a lot of times when we meet someone, we project our own, you know, beliefs or desires onto them, and they may not even actually be that person, really, when you strip it down. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was trying to match up like family values. Mm-hmm. He was an Italian American. Mm-hmm. I was an Italian American. Mm. His parents loved me.
Yeah.
You know, there was all these like wonderful little points, mm-hmm. and he treated me very nicely. Mm-hmm. And because I had such a sheltered life, I feel like I didn't delve deeper into, is this really the right match? I kind of like very surfacely just assumed that this was the way it was supposed to go, mm. which, you know, I think today you really need to be more actively involved in deciphering, you know, on paper or in person, we get along great. Mm-hmm. We seem like we would be a great couple moving forward. But I think it's really important to really ask the questions and really get to know, to understand your own goals for life. And I think these are they're uncomfortable questions probably.
Yeah.
But I think it would probably reduce the amount of divorces.
Yes.
First of all.
Yes.
If you're able to really delve into that uncomfortable territory.
Yeah.
I think it's important if you want to avoid that.
Yeah. I love everything that you shared there. And of course, thank you for being so open about it. Because like I shared with you, I think there's a lot of people that think these things are taboo. And to your point, it's actually why I opened the gate to talk about these things. Because first and foremost, I'm so curious about what are some things that we go through life so often and ignore. And not, of course, there's no guidebook, right? Of course, there is no guidebook.
I wish there were.
Right. And so that's the thing is like, to me, I became so curious, like I told you the other day, because of a breakup in college.
Yeah.
That, you know, it was such a serious one because I was living with him at the time. And so I think that made me curious on all these different things, like even my own behaviors at the time. I was like, oh, wow, like this impacts the relationship and onward. But I think you were saying earlier, like those small little points that we end up connecting the dots for, like, oh, he comes from this family and these would be my in-laws. So that's nice, right? You start to like kind of build this, I think, fantasy in your head,
yeah.
Which I personally have heard and seen a lot of girls do, mm-hmm. to not their fault, but I think it's very natural because we don't know any better, right? And so I'm curious, looking back, realizing, okay, you connected some of these thoughts, these dots, and it made sense almost on paper. But what were some of the things that you do wish you looked for when it came to compatibility long-term and life goals, or even like interests where we talked about maybe he had wanted to live more like in the suburbs, and maybe your gut or your intuition or who you are by nature is more of an artist that perhaps belongs in a city environment or perhaps belongs in, you know, different than, and again, I could just be perceiving this myself, but I myself don't see myself as a strong fit in where we grew up, where Allegra and I grew up. I think I grew it outside of high school, and I lived in Los Angeles. I lived in California. I now live in New York. And as I've experienced this, I just was like, oh, wow, these are places that fit me better.
Yeah.
And I've had that kind of like aha moment.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, if you had those moments yourself, but you didn't listen to it at the time by any chance.
Yeah, I definitely did. I definitely did. I was living in Hell's Kitchen, Chelsea area at the time. And when I was dating who then became my fiance.
Mm-hmm.
And, he didn't want to be in the city.
Mm.
And I was not super stoked that he wanted to move out. But
yeah.
Again, I was so young.
Yeah.
And I was kind of a little bit go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't know myself well enough. I didn't know that 10 years down the line, we would be moving back to Wyomissing.
Mm.
And I didn't know that he was going to be just content working, for my family business,
mm-hmm.
for example.
Mm-hmm.
I am a person that I have, because I've come to really know myself, mm-hmm. over the past 40 years,
mm-hmm.
I've come to know, that I'm a person that likes a lot of activity. Mm-hmm. I'm a person that likes to travel.
Mm.
And I'm a person that likes to experience new things and be stimulated intellectually and culturally. Mm-hmm. And so I think you really, as a young woman, really think about these things. Think yeah. about how you like to spend your time, your energy, what goals you have for yourself professionally.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to be a career woman,
yeah,
yeah. These are all like, and you have to be honest about the answers.
What are some things that you didn't do at the time that now in your experience you realize would have exposed you to that reality more? Like, for example, for me, I do a lot of solo activities and I've traveled by myself internationally before. I've done a lot of these things that enabled me to realize, oh, Emily are these things, or I enjoy doing these things. And it enables me to know that if I were to get into a relationship where someone limited me from doing those things, mm-hmm. I would have so much awareness because of the experience already to be like, okay, then this is probably not going to be a good fit, because I couldn't imagine Emily not being able to experience these things in the way that makes her feel joy.
Yeah.
And so maybe what are some of those things that you didn't get? And again, you were also only 23 and into your mid-20s. But also today, I think a lot of girls listening, like, we do have more opportunity to go and do the thing that we are curious about, maybe more so than many years ago. And so what are some of those things for you that kind of come to mind?
Because I was so new to New York City when I met my future husband. So I probably, if I had a little bit more time, I guess speaking to the young girls who are maybe, you know, just out of college.
Yeah.
You know, so we didn't have podcasts. We didn't have the ability to learn from older people who have gone through things.
Yeah.
But now that you can,
yeah,
I would advise girls in high school,
yeah,
in college, to be paying attention to the things that you're interested in. And when you get the opportunity to do them. And don't necessarily wait around for a group to do them with.
Yes.
Like take stock of your own, you know, interests and your own curiosity. I mean, I did a little bit of that stuff, but I didn't do it enough, you know.
Do you think it's because at the time you were hesitant because you would prefer to do it with friends, or maybe that you got into a relationship at that point, so you went more with the flow and what he wanted?
I think that was probably what it was, because there is a very romantic, you know, kind of, you know, vision of, you know, being in a new relationship in your early 20s.
Totally.
And, you know, I remember having sushi for the first, there were so many firsts then.
Right.
So I was just getting, I was like a baby. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at them like, oh my God, I was like a baby experiencing these things and then making a very adult decision out of it. Just assuming that things were going to work out the same way they worked out for my parents. You know, and I think sometimes when you come from a family who has stayed together, you kind of have this idealized view of life. And you think, well, that's just the way it works out.
Yeah.
You know, I never really had anything horrible happen to me.
Right.
You know, I just kind of felt like that was the way life was going to work.
Yeah.
This was all going to be cookie cutter.
Yeah.
And then it was a rude awakening when you finally, you know, realize that, wait a minute, this isn't exactly how I want this to go. And this isn't exactly how I want to live the rest of my life. And when these questions start to pop up, then, you know, you're dealing with working through a crisis.
Yeah.
You know, first of all.
Ooh.
So that leads into a whole different territory.
Right. Okay. So did you ever have any of these thoughts or questions come up before you got married to him?
No. Well, actually, yeah, I guess.
Even if they were tiny,
I would say I did. And that is where, you know, you and I talked about intuition and gut feelings. So for all you young girls or younger girls than me, that was something I really wasn't very good at. You know, I wasn't good at like listening to that little nagging voice. And so many years later, when I really realized my deficiency to have awareness about that feeling, because I think sometimes you get like so bogged down. Now I have two kids and I have a house and I've got like, you know, a side thing where I'm doing interiors on the side. And so I have a lot going on. And so, and, you know, raising children is a big job in itself, you know. So there's a lot going on and you might hear that voice, but you don't know how to, you don't know how to deal with it. It's a voice that's going to rock your whole world. So I think we push that voice down a lot. And so I would say to anyone younger who doesn't have all those things piled up yet, really cultivate an awareness and a respect for that feeling. And later in life, when I started to really pay attention to that and really work on trying to hear that voice, there is a respect that you need to have for yourself. And when you have that feeling, that gut feeling, it then becomes easy. Because I literally, once I kind of changed how I navigated things. When I got that feeling, I would just say, hold the phone. Like, I'm having a feeling and I have to respect what my gut is telling me. And honestly, no one can argue with that. And it's a lifesaver if you can learn how to cultivate that awareness and then respecting it.
Yeah. What were some of the reasons, like, for example, because I say this with thinking in mind of girls that will talk about, you know, maybe they want to live in the city and the guy wants to move to the Midwest, just making it extreme. Mm-hmm. And I heard this in passing the other day walking in West Village where two friends were talking about it with each other. And she was basically trying to rationalize why it could still work or why it's still okay. And I don't blame them because I think I was there at one point too. And again, I also don't think differences are the issue, but sometimes what I've seen more often than not is people, women especially, when we're young and with a little bit less experience, we try to almost overcompensate or over-rationalize like, oh, like, it's okay, maybe I will give up New York and like, you know, move to Dallas because he wants that too, you know? And like you suddenly start to give up yourself mm-hmm. and what you want mm-hmm. without knowing it in the moment. And unless you have a really good friend that can actually check you for it and be mm-hmm. like, in my case, like Emily, like, would that actually be the life that you want for yourself? Like, mm-hmm. are you sure, you know? So I'm curious, like, if there are any similar examples that are like that, whether it was, you know, the South Beach or the Miami example where, like, you started to get an interest because the arts were coming about at that time, but maybe he didn't have an interest for that, or other things too that outside of arts, the way you like to live life, maybe it's like you actually really like to see different cultures and different parts of the world, and this person maybe didn't as much. Did any of those mental friction come about before or even after, I guess, once you got married and that you were trying to fight it almost?
Yeah, no, it actually, honestly, it happened all the time.
Yeah.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
And I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
You know, that was kind of like the thing with my experience. I had signs before I got married.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah.
If I want to really be honest.
Yeah.
And of course I have, you know, shared this, you know, throughout the whole time when yeah. I was kind of navigating feeling unhappy mm-hmm. in that relationship and knowing that it takes a lot of courage to then say, okay, I made a mistake.
Yes.
And now I have these, you know, I have children.
Yeah.
And I have a husband
mm-hmm.
and how do you navigate that once you're there?
Yeah.
You know? So yes, I had a lot of signs. I didn't listen to them because I didn't know how to listen to them because mm-hmm. they were uncomfortable.
Ooh.
They were uncomfortable. I didn't know if I would have support. I had no experience with anyone in my family getting divorced. Mm-hmm. You feel very alone. And then, you know, I'm very type A mm-hmm. and I'm a very hard worker. So that to me is like kind of, I think when I go in hyperdrive to kind of do more, to be more. And so, you know, here you are then working extra hard to kind of, that's when I created like a whole new line of like bedding and mm-hmm. I started a whole new company. So mm-hmm. I would find different ways to navigate these uncomfortable feelings so that maybe it would work out. I was trying to make it work out without talking about it with anyone. Oh. But I had signs all along. We went to South Beach. I wanted to maybe start a company down there. And we just weren't on the same page.
Mm.
And so that was like the first year I was married.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to Wyomissing and, you know, he went to work for my family's business mm-hmm. and I started a family. And I think it was kind of like, it was trying to figure out how I was going to navigate life living in a small town when I have a fashion degree.
Mm.
And so what am I going to do? How am I going to use the things that I'm good at? And so I had to figure that out. And I, you know, ended up starting my own company and starting, you know, I moved from bedding and having my own soft home furnishings company to starting an interior design consulting firm. Mm-hmm. So I think the fact that I had like a way to, you know, to get out my creativity,
yeah,
you know, that was really helpful for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say that maybe another woman who didn't have that outlet, you know, maybe I would have turned to something that would have been harmful to me.
Yeah.
Maybe I would have started, you know, drinking,
yeah,
or doing things that weren't healthy and productive.
Yes.
You know, I kind of, whenever I got stressed, I would always work, like turn to something that I knew would either be productive or healthy.
Mm.
It was sort of my way of coping.
No, I as you share that, I think about how a topic I talk about a lot is filling your own cup as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And what I believe that looks like is doing the things that interest you,
mm-hmm,
and just naturally bring you joy. Mm-hmm. That could be painting. That could be going to SoulCycle. That could be playing tennis, you know, doing anything.
Yeah.
And almost what the reason why I talk about it a lot is because I do observe that a lot of girls within my age, especially, hesitate to do these things on their own. But if they can do it with a friend, and let's say when we even go out to the bars, they often want a girlfriend to go with them to the bathroom, right? Like, even if you think about it as a minute detail like that, girls would be like, hey, who wants to come to the bathroom with me? It's like this subconscious thing or need of, I need someone else to do it with me to feel comfortable. I've asked girls from my sorority who are 2-3 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
This is the biggest obstacle for them across the board. I still hang out with like girls from my old sorority who live in the city.
Uh-huh.
And I've asked them about this and they're like, I wish I could do what you do. I'm like, but you can.
Yeah.
You can go take that writing class, that little writing workshop that you're so curious of doing, but you're so scared to go by yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think it's almost, when I think about it, I'm always wondering, is it almost the lack of doing those things and having those healthy interests for yourself that could lead you into a position where if you are in, let's say, a wrong relationship, and you don't have those outlets for yourself, you wouldn't be as aware. You know what I mean? Because like how well do you know yourself if you haven't given yourself the chance to know who Emily is?
Yeah, no, that is, I mean, honestly, before Allegra, my oldest, went to college, I was trying to get her to take a year and go to Europe first.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I really did, for that exact reason, actually.
I love that.
Because when I was at Penn State, I took a French class, and I had this French professor who was telling us about these opportunities to go and live in France for the summer and, mm-hmm, be an au pair.
Yeah.
And that sounded so cool to me.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did it when I was 18. I lived in the south of France, but like near Bordeaux. It was a
no
little
way.
Town called Saint-Hélène, and nobody spoke English.
Wait, that is so cool. I had no idea that you did this.
Yeah, I did. Oh, it was one of the best things, honestly,
wow,
that I ever did. And you know, you think about it, back then, there were no cell phones.
Yeah.
If I wanted to speak with my mother, mm-hmm, I had to, you know, go to like some kind of payphone and,
right,
call collect. You know,
right,
that, yeah, crazy way of doing it.
Yeah.
And so for me, the reason why that was so amazing,
mm-hmm,
was because it wasn't planned. Like, I applied, you had to write in an application,
yeah,
mail it. And then one day I was at what I thought was going to be my summer job,
mm-hmm,
a cocktail waitress at,
yeah,
Chi-Chi's. And I came home from my training and my mom said, you got a phone call from somebody in France. She's like, I couldn't understand them because they were speaking French,
mm-hmm,
but they did say that you got the job to be an au pair. So within 2 days, I had to figure out airfare to France and connecting to, you know, the southern French airport. Honestly, I don't even remember what airport I flew into,
yeah,
in the south of France. That's how long ago it was.
Wow.
But I got picked up by the guy who was the dad. He handed me, he had a pack of cigarettes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like an 18-year-old, like, yeah, all-American girl.
Right.
I get in this little car and he's, you know, speaking French. He's handing me a pack of Gitans, which are these unfiltered French cigarettes. Oh my and gosh. I took one because I didn't know what to do. So yeah. I'm like, I'm smoking this really harsh cigarette. And it was just like the craziest summer. But like yeah. I would communicate with my mom, like I would write her letters. Uh-huh. And but it was there that I realized that I didn't want to go into advertising. I realized I wanted to become a designer and go to Parsons. And I attribute that to being alone.
Oh.
Being alone and not having the noise of my friends, what they're doing. Because I think that you can't help but be affected by your friends, especially when you're young. So I was able to make like a truly authentic choice that filled my soul.
Wow.
And I just don't think you can do that very easily with all the noise of today's culture.
Yeah.
You know, so I really wanted her to do that because I thought that would be helpful to her to really know herself. It didn't happen, but but yeah, I totally think that, you know, make it a point to whatever it is, you know, you want to take a, you want to learn how to draw or paint or photography, or you want to write more or whatever it is. I think those things are so important and you owe it to yourself to know what things make your soul feel good.
Yeah. And to your point, the reason why I think I learned that early on is because of that breakup and living in California, 3,000 miles away from home, not having hometown friends. You know, I didn't have any strong friendships at the time because it's college. You're still getting to know people. I was only sophomore year going into junior year. So it's a very pivotal developmental age, right? I'm like, I think 20 years old at the time. And so I think it was being forced to be alone in, you know, during a breakup, right? And then going from living with him and then into a junior year apartment, living with a law student, you know, going back to having a normal girl roommate type of thing. I think I was just like forced to figure out Emily and not to not forget who Emily is as her own person. It was the life lesson, the adult life lesson number one I talk about all the time, which is what got me on to these life coaches and stuff, because I was going through a breakup, but with no crutch. I wasn't going out to parties anymore. I wasn't, you know, because I think the flip side of that is a girl going through a breakup today, if she's got all her sorority girlfriends or any girlfriends of hers that are like, oh, it's okay, like forget about him, hop on the app right away, or let's go out, let's have a girl's time.
Yeah.
It's great. I understand it, but it can serve as a crutch that then you never get that moment where you get to actually observe your own thoughts, observe what lights you up, observe what kind of life you want. Because I think that's the thing that a lot of my own friends today, they're like, Emily, you're so, you know, like you kind of have it figured out. I'm like, not really. But I will say I chose the harder path when I was 20. And no one ever really knows like that feeling of, you know, just a really hard breakup. And like, you know, with someone that you were dating very seriously. And so I think that's why I asked you, you know, what are some of those things for you when it comes to, maybe just like what you wish you knew, or maybe little signs that did come up before, during, before and during your relationship with him. Because I think that that often happens and no girl knows how to talk about it. They don't know how to express that unless you're going to therapy, which is great. I do think going to a therapist is great, especially a good one. But sometimes we just don't know how to express it to someone and for others to understand, right? Because it's kind of like, oh, well, I'm comfortable in this relationship, so I'll just stay. Or, well, you know, it's not like anything's bad right now, so I don't know why I should leave the relationship, you know. But sometimes you could feel all those things, but you could also have this like feeling of I want more in my life. I think that's what also I had to that last relationship, the college one. We ended up getting back together 8 months later, but I think 2 years later I ended that relationship because I had got to know Emily so well from that 8 months off that I realized I had grown a lot, that I had wanted more for myself and realized that if I don't do this now, I'm never going to really see the potential of Emily, which part of that was even moving to Los Angeles and New York.
Yeah.
You know, so I just like that you shared that because I think a lot of it can resonate with younger women.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, it's okay to work on a relationship mm-hmm. for sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, and, you know, here's the thing, like, life isn't going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're someone who is listening to this podcast and you've picked up a couple of things that you think are important for yourself,
yeah.
There's going to be something else that happens in your life. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the real lesson for me to share is that, you know, there's always time to learn from your mistakes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, life isn't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So bad things are going to happen here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you can take something that happened to you in the past, and I'm actually grateful for going through certain things because it makes me be a person who has more compassion, and it has given me a broader sense of understanding and a lot of wisdom. And I know I can go through hard things,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I want to say that to anyone who's in a weird relationship, an unhappy relationship, you know, you can survive this
mm-hmm.
and you can become a much more grounded, happier person. Like you can still turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
There's still time to turn mistakes around.
Yeah.
So.
When it came to many years later and you were dating again and, you know, choosing a partner, what was something that you realized you did do differently when it came to compatibility or, and of course, I think it could look different too when you're dating at different stages, but I think there's still a fundamental recognition of, okay, this is something I'm going to be more aware of, whether that's values or lifestyle, compatibility, things like that. What were some of those things that came up for you?
Dating as an adult woman
mm-hmm.
after being married for 17 years
yeah.
is a real different experience.
Yeah.
You know, so because life has changed so much
right.
from 1980, you know, 7
yeah.
to 19, I mean, 20, you know, 2020, whatever.
Right.
So a lot has changed.
Yeah.
And so what I kind of have learned, because I had a lot of different relationships after
mm-hmm,
that,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were, most of them were long-term.
Yeah.
One was 6 years and then a couple were like a year,
yeah.
a year. And now I've been with my partner for 4 years.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And, you know, what I've come to learn out of all of it is that I know myself pretty well now.
Mm.
So I know that I need to be with someone who really understands me.
Yeah.
You know, and really sees what I do and values, you know, the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it kind of sounds like that's an easy thing, but mm-hmm. it's so not.
Yes,
so when I you agree. Meet someone who really gets you
mm-hmm.
and really like honors you, you know, with your talents
mm-hmm.
and the way you think, and has respect for your family
mm-hmm.
And has respect for themselves, that is something I learned that is what I want.
Mm.
So they are a little esoteric in a way. They're like more of a way of being. And I need to be with someone who has a similar way of being.
Yeah.
As opposed to like going with someone for, you know, money
mm-hmm.
or, you know, where they live or the kind of job they have or how they look. I have learned that looks matter less to me
mm-hmm.
than someone's brain.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's called a saposexual.
Sapiosexual, I think.
Sapiosexual.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My friends who are also the same way introduced me to that. And I realized I was also like that.
Yeah. It's
yeah,
like
yeah,
the
yeah.
craziest thing because I found myself attracted to people who I – and it happened many times.
Yeah.
Like, I think this person's awesome.
Yeah.
You know? But 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that I probably wouldn't even notice the person, you know? So I'm more of a deeper, you know, I think deeper. I'm attracted to people who think deeply.
Yeah.
So.
Did you notice a difference when it comes to like almost energy, when it comes to like maybe you and your partner now versus maybe past instances that, you know, didn't work out, obviously? Like, do you feel... Could you notice like an energy? Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Honestly, there's like not even a comparison.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's just changed so drastically and it just feels great.
Yeah.
You know, like it just feels like breathing. It's effortless.
Mm-hmm. Of all things, I'm a very big advocate for relationships and that being the top priority in my life over my career, my health, of course. There's myself first, but I think second to that is my relationships and the strength of that, because once again, I saw how much I could suffer without strong relationships during that breakup, because I had no close friends to reach out to talk to connect to. You know, I obviously lost what would be, you know, my boyfriend and my best friend in one. So I felt what that felt like to be, okay, I could even at the time was doing my skating dress business, was doing so well in that, but still felt so lonely in that process. Mm-hmm. And I had like that eye opening of fulfillment versus happiness.
Yeah.
And how they coincide, but how fulfillment, there's a little different meaning to that. And that's why I became so intrigued by it. And that's why I lead so many conversations surrounding relationships, because it's either you learn that lesson sooner or later, at some point in life, in my opinion, when you kind of hit that pitfall of you've got everything, but not like that genuine connection. And you can feel empty, which is why so many, you know, millionaires will also be like, the ones that have learned will tell you money does not buy happiness. It does not change anything, you know? And it's like,
it's said for a reason.
Yes, right?
It's true.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And so I think I just always imagined myself when I was in college, you know, these things I would have been thinking about. And if I heard this conversation, I would have been like, oh, like, I get it. You know, that does resonate with me.
All right, you guys. So we are pretty much almost in back to school season, or we pretty much already are, depending on where you go to school. But if you are a junior or senior in college, then you are probably coming to a slow reality check of, holy shit, I am almost a college graduate. Like, what am I going to do with my life? Like, what do I do from here, right? I remember what it was like during college and after college, and even during the job search process. It's all still really recent to me. And because I know how stressful it can be, I put together a career ebook guide for you called The Everyday Girl's Guide to Career Success. I include resume templates, cover letter templates, top interview questions, my personal answers to the questions, how you should be dressing at interviews, and so much more. So you can find all the information on this ebook and buy this ebook online at whatfulfillsyou.com.
It's like, I almost feel like the meaning of life is to know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think relationships, I look back on all of my relationships as they taught me something really important about myself that I didn't know, or maybe an aspect of myself, like the relationships in the in-between stage of like being married and not having been with anybody else for 20 years and then opening myself up for the past, I don't know, 15 years to relationships. So there were a lot of things that each relationship brought to me that I needed at the time. And I really believe in trusting the process, trusting your journey. I don't believe that there are any like real mistakes.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I mean, of course, if we had all this awareness when we're 22, maybe we would have made different choices.
Right.
So it's great if you can have the gift of awareness early. But it's not necessary, I think, to like live a fulfilled life.
Yeah.
As long as at some point over your journey,
yeah,
you do come to know yourself.
Right.
That is really that's your job here on this planet.
Yeah.
Is to know yourself mm-hmm. and to fulfill whatever destiny you feel that is yours to fulfill.
Yeah. And I think to that point, when you do get to that point of being more aware of yourself and more naturally then more fulfilled, I think it is at that energy state you can also give back to those around you and share those, like that light, even like not even an actual specific lesson, but to show up in such way that it is compounded into your children or your family or your friends. You know, I've always been a believer in kind of a domino effect of, you know, a smile to a stranger on the subway or things like that, because I can't show up that way unless I've gotten to know myself mm-hmm. really well and to the point that I can feel satisfied in just myself, then I can show up pleasantly for other people. But if every day I'm just always annoyed about my job or annoyed about this person and that person, I will show up that way and always have a frown on my face. And I've seen it, you know, in New York, we see lots of, you know, different people. So I think I am passionate about the impact of that as well of to the rest of society, I think. But especially, of course, in your own community and your own inner circle. But down the road, how you show up is like becomes almost like this energetic effect to the rest of the world.
Yeah. I mean, just what I do mm-hmm. As an entrepreneur, as an artist, mm-hmm. it's literally all about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I created Have Some Fun Today because once my dad passed and I felt the impact that his life had on, you know, over 1,000 people came to my dad's funeral. That's insane. Wow. And why I'm missing.
Wow.
I mean, the church was standing room only.
Wow.
So that really affected me, you know? And I thought, well, I have this ability to create visual things and to create them from scratch, from a drawing, from a concept in my head, from my dad's saying. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, we're carrying and using these things every day that maybe has a logo on them. Mm-hmm. Why not change that up and disrupt the whole concept of fashion and how fashion merges with like ideas and words and energy?
Yeah.
I mean, because at the end of the day, like your energy is everything. Mm-hmm. How you show up, you know, what kind of energy, you know, people feel. Mm-hmm. Just seeing you,
yeah.
Just seeing like the calmness that you possess, or the confidence you possess, and maybe they'll notice your T-shirt or your handbag, and it says "Have some fun today," and it's like, oh, so like surprising,
yeah.
You know, you don't expect that, and so I you know, believe that energy and how you show up and how that multiplies, because let's say you're carrying that handbag and you pass by 100 people in a day and 100 people see that and notice it, and it just a little trigger.
Yeah.
So to me, like, that is so important to how I want to live my life and what I want to be known for.
Yeah. I love that, because I think this also ties into, you know, we talked about earlier, female friendships, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, to me, the first thing I think of is energy. When I think of Allegra and Heather, shout out to you guys. It's so funny because I can pinpoint different energies I have with different people in my life. Mm-hmm. And with Allegra, since high school, since the time we were frolicking in California to, you know, the high school parties, it's so funny. But it's like, it's interesting how the energy for us has like stayed consistent. It's always very happy-go-lucky, just high frequency. And then even with Heather too, it's just like the dynamic, it's just you feel good around them. They're supportive of you. And for me personally, I can't say that I've always experienced supportive, lighthearted girlfriends because depending on, you know, for me, just I think as an entrepreneur or even as a competitive figure skater back in the day, there were girls that were quietly jealous. Mm-hmm. And I think I've seen it from college as well, like that I was naive to at some mm-hmm. point, but I didn't realize it until I hit my 20s that I was like, damn, there are some women that just unfortunately, not because of me, mm-hmm. but because of something they haven't resolved in themselves, mm-hmm. that they are jealous mm-hmm. and don't love that I shine, which also doesn't take away from theirs, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. We all know this. But I know we talked a little bit about how you've navigated different friendship falling outs or just different situations that I've said this time and time again on the podcast. I think it is so under talked about.
Yeah.
And it is something that so many women go through.
Yeah.
Especially after college. You hit the first phase of reality post-grad because yeah. mm-hmm. you're no longer in your circles and your groups. You're in different mm-hmm. cities now. You're living a real adult life. And you actually navigate the real adult friendships and like the ups and downs of keeping in touch. And some are getting married. Some are engaged. And some are not. And some are, you know, it's just so different.
Yeah.
But that's the one thing. While there's a lot of romantic relationship and marriage conversations, that I don't feel like there's often enough. And that can feel a little lonely at times where, you know, who do you talk to about, hey, like, has anyone gone through this with a yeah. girlfriend? You know, like that I've never actually had much conversation with other girlfriends.
Yeah. It's almost like weirdly taboo.
Yes.
And I think like the first inklings of that, I remember being, you know, in grade school and mm-hmm. having like a best friend. And the best friend I had then, her family owned all of the coal mines in the area.
Wow.
Which is significant, yeah. you know, family money. And I knew that my friend had a lot of money and I knew she had a really nice house. Mm-hmm. But in my brain, being like 10, mm-hmm. I didn't quite understand like how does she have that life mm-hmm. and I have this life, and I know it's different, but you don't know how to make sense of that.
Right.
And then I moved to Wyomissing, mm-hmm. and again I became very good friends with a family that are very, very wealthy. Mm-hmm. And same thing again. I was like, okay, she gets to drive a Mercedes convertible in mm-hmm. high school. And mm-hmm. this is like in the 80s.
Yeah.
So like that was like, oh, wow, you know? And like I don't remember feeling jealous, mm-hmm. but I was definitely aware mm-hmm. that my friend had really nice clothes
yeah.
and she could really do whatever she wanted.
Right.
And I never could do that. That was mm-hmm. never my situation yeah. in my family. But we had a lovely family. Mm-hmm. We always lived in a lovely house. And so I think that's like when you're young in those ages, mm-hmm. you can start to see that there are differences.
Yes.
And certainly that is fodder for jealousy mm-hmm. for people. But I never really felt like that. Mm. And I went through, you know, college, and I would be around people with great wealth mm-hmm. and people like myself who were just fine, mm-hmm. but like we weren't wealthy.
Yeah.
And again, I'm like trying to sort out these feelings of like, well, why does my friend get to have these great clothes? Like mm. I've always been around the situation.
Gotcha.
Because I think, you know, when you go to college, there's just a variety of people come from different backgrounds yep. and some are really wealthy and some aren't.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just talking about wealth at this point
right.
because that's like an easy way to,
yeah.
it's like a thing that yeah. people get it's jealous true. About.
Yeah.
And luckily for me, I always had a very easy time making friends. Mm. I was always a popular girl. Mm-hmm. All the time. Mm-hmm. And I went to Penn State, huge university. Mm-hmm. I was in one of the best sororities. Mm-hmm. Everyone knew me. It was yeah. like, I was like, okay, this is easy.
Yeah.
Life's going to be easy.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
And, you know, then Parsons came along and, you know, marriage and kids and still, you know, we're navigating all these differences. People mm-hmm. who have more, people who have less.
Yeah.
People who are skinny, and if you're always struggling to maintain your weight, mm. there's always little things that can trigger jealousy. Mm. I've never been a jealous person. Mm-hmm. And So my first experience with that whole jealousy thing was when I had my daughters. Mm-hmm. And I would see how the little friendships would kind of splinter. And I would be like, how are these kids not getting along? You know, yeah. Why are suddenly this group of girls being mean to this girl? Mm-hmm. And then I started to see it because I'm an older person. I'm looking at it at a group that is, you know, right in front of my face.
Yep.
And I started to see what looked to me like girl jealousy.
Oof.
And it wasn't directed at me, but it was directed at people around me. And then as I, you know, went on through life and I started different businesses, and I would say it was with social media that I really was the first time I really saw aggression towards me from people who were once my very good friends.
Mm-hmm.
But we had chosen different paths.
Yeah.
I was single. I was an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
I was using social media the way you're supposed to use social media.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of, they just didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
They were at home taking care of their families. They were not entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
They were married. They were leading a very different life.
Yeah.
And I was forging into a whole new unknown territory as a woman living in a small town. And so that was when I first experienced that. And it's really hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the kind of thing, like, you don't call that girl up and say, why don't you like me anymore?
Right.
You know what I mean? So right. Like, that's the uncomfortable conversation.
Yes.
That I have never had the guts to have.
Yeah.
And maybe you could say I've never had the guts to have, but at the other end of that is, well, why should I actually waste my energy if that's how harshly I was judged for something I was going through that you have no idea what it's like to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I should just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have chosen to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Because what would be the point of me calling some woman and saying, we used to be friends and now we're not?
Yeah.
What happened?
Right. Right.
That would be fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, to ask.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's worth my energy going there. What do you think?
I love that you brought this up because I have gone through this at least two or three times now myself. Uh-huh. I think in general, I know the very first one was years ago, and it was, again, so funny how social media really is the catalyst for a lot of things, but I discovered it because she not only, like, unfollowed me, but had blocked me, and it wasn't, there was no fight, there was no nothing. It was actually that we were, as far as I know, were normal and in good terms, and one day, out of the blue, just completely, like, removed me from her life via social media. And to this day, there has been never a conversation about it. But to your point about, do you confront and ask or do you let it go? It was me also realizing the same thing, that why would I invest the energy and time and ask about, you know, what happened when, you know, I don't know. It's just like, is it worth it?
Yeah.
You know, like, it would, like, do I even care to have this type of person in my life then?
Yeah.
You know? And what I've learned after that through other lessons or through observing other female friendship fallout like that is that it had nothing to do with you as much as we want to personalize it, but a lot to do with them, especially when we see it happen, or especially rather when we see them do it again to another person.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you go, okay, I'm not the common denominator. They are.
Yeah.
And if this is how they handle whatever life that they're, you know, they're living, then, like,
yeah,
enjoy it. You know, and I think to your point too earlier about compassion and understanding, and when you experience more rough waters, you tend to have a little bit more compassion for people and empathy. I think I've had the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
where I've learned that as my older self in high school would have been a lot more, I think, direct, confronted the situation. And sometimes it's maybe worth it if it's really, really, I think it's like, you know, 1 out of 10 situations, really. But in most cases, I realized that, you know, I just grew to empathize for them, that they didn't learn any better. They didn't, unfortunately, grow to have the level of compassion that I have to recognize that we're more similar than different. And this is not worth judging someone over for, or there's no judgment needed.
Yeah.
And so you kind of then, I think in my experience, not to say I'm perfect, there's a lot of imperfect moments, but I think I try my best to really, you know, wish other people the best and hope that they have their own aha moment in life where they learn to have a lot of compassion and empathy for others, and so that they don't have to approach situations like this where it can be really hurtful to another person.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's like a protective mechanism but I don't know, I think sometimes, I also think that it tends to be more of a female situation than it happens for men, in my opinion. I think that men tend to handle things differently, whereas women, for friendship-like situations, it tends to be, unfortunately, a little bit more catty to some degree, or rather, if there's jealousy, there's, for men, the jealousy comes about in different ways and they also handle it in different ways.
Yeah.
And for women, we're gossipers, or, you know, whatever, like that, just some people do. And again, I've done it in my past too, right? And I've grown from it, but I think being on the receiving end of that is unfortunately very painful, especially the first or second time. It's like, wow, like I did nothing to you.
Yeah.
Why did this need to be so abrupt like that?
Or you would expect, or at least hope, that if you had a friend who was doing something that they were working hard at in any capacity, that there would be some cheering each other on, you know? And so I have to applaud the friends in my life that have watched me through every single stage and have just continued to say, go for it, Steph.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Cheers to those girls.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, big time.
Because they're amazing and they're true friends.
Yes.
You know?
And to me, that's something I talk about a lot too, when I think about and write down a lot in my journal of what is, I guess, the standard, in my opinion, of a true good friend. And I write down all the qualities from my best friends in college, or the ones that are still really close to me now, and just the people in my inner circle now. And there's always a lot of commonalities with how they show up for me, always very supportive, very loving, very, if I call them because I need a girlfriend to talk to or need a girlfriend to, you know, just get an opinion on something, they're always responsive, you know? And these are, I think, those are the moments that really show you, hey, this is actually what true friendship is about. Yeah. And you, at least from my experience later on, you don't have the patience to stick around people that don't treat you the same way, right? Yeah, or don't clearly don't value you. So you kind of go, okay, well, you know, it is what it is, I think, in life.
you find your tribe. And I think, like, you're such a go-getter. And, I mean, you have been since like, the beginning of college. I remember you collaborating with me. I had a lot of respect for that. And I have great respect for you. But I think when you are a person who wants to do things in life, you need to surround yourself with people who also want to do big things in life. And usually those kinds of people are your biggest cheerleaders.
Yes.
And they're the people that you can rely on. You can bounce ideas off. You get support from, because it's hard to do the things that we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And so so that's why, one of the reasons why I love being in New York, because most of the people here are trying to do something.
Yes.
You know, so I need that in my life, you know, as much as I love being in Wyomissing half of the month. I don't have that in general there. You know, I have my family there, and I have a place to paint. And so that's great. But there aren't a lot of people there who are trying to do hard things.
Yes. Yes. And to each their own is kind of how I've framed it too. But I do think environment is a very powerful aspect of our lives. Like the environment that we choose to physically be in, absolutely, it impacts the trajectory a lot. This is why I've chosen New York as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, well, final few questions. One being, any book recommendations that come to mind that have been very impactful for you that you think other young women should consider giving a read? It can be fiction, nonfiction.
Well, this is a funny one. It's The Fountainhead. I don't know if you've ever...
Oh, yes, by Ayn Rand?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea you read that, too.
Oh, my God. It's like
I
one of my favorite books of all time.
Yes, I love that book.
Yeah.
I love that book. And I'm like almost finished with Atlas Shrugged.
And Atlas Shrugged is seriously amazing.
Okay.
Too. Like that's right up there. But
okay. I'm not finished with Atlas Shrugged yet, but right now I still think that Fountainhead got me more emotional than Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because it's a groundbreaking concept. And the reason for it is because it talks about the importance of individuality.
Yes.
And that's what I'm all about.
Yes.
You know, like,
wow.
Be you. Don't be a cookie cutter person.
Yeah.
And, you know, be weird.
Yes.
Be yourself. Be unique.
Yeah.
You know?
I once wrote down people or characters that inspire me to be a better person. And Howard Roark is someone, a character I wrote down in my journal, my daily journal.
Wow.
And he's one of the people, like his character as a person and how he doesn't do things for money, but rather his own joy.
Integrity.
Yeah, integrity.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, is because my number one value is integrity. And so I saw that.
Me too.
Yeah. So that's so crazy. 100%. I had no idea you read that.
Yeah.
I'm going to lend that book to Allegra if she hasn't read it yet.
I don't know, but I'll read it. I know she'd want to.
Yeah. But it's a heavy, deep one. But great book rec. Yeah. Oh, it's so great.
That would be my main one.
Yeah. Okay. Two questions from the card game.
Oh, good.
When have you felt the lowest in your life? But what did you learn from it?
Okay. Well, I can easily answer that question. I felt it's a little sensitive, I would say, probably to some people, but I'm such an open book. Mm-hmm. I felt the lowest in my life. I actually think I had a breakdown.
Yeah.
It was after I was divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing is, my family was fine with me getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
They were fine. It was that I chose to date a much younger person that they just did not like and did not accept. And it was right after I got divorced, like maybe 6 months after I got divorced, I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they met him another 6 months later. So it wasn't like I got divorced and I'm like in this relationship with a, you know, guy 14 years younger than me.
Uh-huh.
It happened over time that I met somebody who he was meant to be my person for a while.
Yeah.
I needed whatever he had.
Yeah.
I needed that.
Yeah.
And my parents completely, my whole family actually completely was just like, no.
Yeah.
And it was devastating.
Wow.
To feel like the black sheep, you know, disowned by my family.
It
was really, really hard for me and was really hard for my daughters.
Oh, wow.
So what was the other part of the question?
What did you learn from that experience?
Oh, what did I learn? I learned that I am a very strong person and that I'm able to go through really hard things and I'm okay expressing my emotion. I'm not going to hold it down and let it damage me. I'm going to move through it. I'm going to work on it. And I'm going to emerge bigger, better, and stronger than ever.
Yeah. Oof. I love that. One more question. What do you regret not doing? And why haven't you done it yet?
Well, I would say the thing I regret not doing was not going to Paris instead when I applied to Parsons, mm-hmm. I had just graduated Penn State. Mm-hmm. And I applied to Parsons for New York, but I could have applied to Parsons Paris. Mm. And I had a specific reason for coming to New York instead. And it was only going to be for the first year. Mm. And it was because I thought I was being super smart and saying, well, all the biggest designers are in New York, so I should just go right to New York. Mm. And I've often thought, and I haven't really thought about this in a long time, but I often would think that would have been such an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. And I regret that I didn't take that opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just... But it's okay.
Yeah.
I've been to Paris many times, and right. I intend to go hang out there definitely in the future.
Yeah. Ooh, that's good, though. I think that's good for, you know, again, I talked with a friend the other day, and she was talking about how she has a job opportunity where she would go to London, and there's a visa ready for her, and she's, like, on the fence about it, you know? And so I think sometimes—
Go do it.
Right? but I think there are some times where it's, like, when they hear that from, you know, someone like you, they're like, oh, it might make them rethink very deeply about— not wasting an opportunity like that.
You should go with your heart.
Yeah.
I feel like the heart over the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think your heart is more, it's more aligned with your gut.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we overthink things. We think we're being smarter. Yeah. We think we're outsmarting somebody. And we're just depriving ourselves of a really an amazing experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you only live once. Mm-hmm. And one thing I always think of is there's this meditation that I've done that is a lead meditation. Mm-hmm. And it goes to the very end of your life when you're having your very last breath. And as you're taking that very last breath, your mind is going to flash back to your life. Mm-hmm. And the kind of ancestor you are going to be remembered as. Mm-hmm. So I think about that now. Mm-hmm. I think about, like, I almost feel like there's not enough time to do all the things that I want to do. And so I kind of like that feeling energized just about living.
Yeah.
And living as best I can and turning over every stone that I'm curious to know what's under. Mm. There's something about just being curious and being grateful for the opportunity.
Okay, last question. And it's the one that I ask every guest on the show, but in reflecting on everything, what fulfills you in life?
Well, that's a great question. That's a great one to end it with. What fulfills me is creating things from my heart and my soul and from my expertise that I have gained over the years and allowing myself the luxury of being curious and doing everything for my daughters, that they can see what I do. And I hope that gives them permission to lead a life that is full of curiosity.
Yeah.
And love.
Yeah.
That's what fulfills me.
Thank you for being so open and for sharing all of your wisdom and insights. Because, you know, like I said, we've talked about before, I think some people find it taboo to be so open and honest, but I think it is those conversations that have personally helped me in my life. And so this is my way of giving back to those who need it in this moment or in the future moment that they come across this episode. So
yeah, well, we all need each other, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Especially now more than ever.
Yeah.
And to be able to talk instead of texting.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Emily. Yes. It really means a lot.
Thank you.
And that was all for today's episode with Stephanie Taramina. Thank you so much for tuning in to this conversation. If you took some value from this or really enjoyed this episode, please be sure to let us know. Post this on your Insta story and tag at What Fulfills You and at Emily E. Duong. And if you want to keep up with more on What Fulfills You, make sure you are following the Instagram. And for the card game, all of the merch, you can find that at whatfulfillsyou.com, but everything is also linked in the show notes. Thank you again for tuning in today. I will chat with you all in the next episode.
a BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
I struggle most weeks to like get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.